Good evening, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to worship together and to give a report, have the youth give a report of their mission trip to Mexico, to Tecate, Mexico, to the Shining Light Children's Home. If you were here 15 minutes early or 10 minutes early, you heard a lot of buzz up here. And so the youth were very excited before the trip, during the trip, and they're still excited about it. And so I hope you'll catch a bit of the blessing of being there and giving a bit of our time. In connection to that, I'd like for us to open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. And I'd like to look at verses 13 through 16. Mark 10, verse 13. I'll read this in the King James Version, and then following that, we'll look at it in the Message translation. Jesus blesses the children, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. This trip was a special opportunity for the youth and Lowell's and our families to carry out the words of Jesus in this passage. And although we applied many, many five-gallon buckets of paint, and we wish we would have counted from the beginning and afterward, there were so many empty buckets here and there, we didn't get an accurate count. But as we were applying the paint, we weren't only painting, but we were helping, we were serving children who slept in these rooms, the dining room where these children received food, these orphans received food, places where they played, and we got to learn of Jesus as we did that. And so it's a blessing that we were able to serve, and as we think of the importance that Jesus puts on children, I think that's important for us to be reminded of that. As Joe Kipfer said, "Though painting day after day did get a bit old, it was wonderful to work with others from my youth group and to serve Christ by serving the children there." Heidi Mass said, "Every child was beautiful, so full of life, freely sharing love, laughter, and their hearts. These children are an incredible gift from God, priceless." I'd like to again read this passage in the Message translation. As I looked at the translation in the beginning, it uses the word irate to describe Jesus' reaction. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this. But then I looked back in the King James again, and the King James says that Jesus was much displeased. So we know what it's like if we're displeased. So what's it like when you tell your children, "I am much displeased with what you did"? I'm not sure if I've done that, but maybe that's a good way to do it. Jesus was much displeased, so when the disciples rebuked those that were bringing the children to him, he was much displeased that they were sending them away. And so Mark 10, verses 13 through 16 in the Message translation, more in our everyday, the way we talk, reads, The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus was irate and let them know it. "Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." Then, gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. And so what a reminder for us to, and especially those of us who are blessed to be parents, it just reminds us of the importance, the privilege that we have of staying close to our own children, those that were born to us. They're our very own flesh and blood, as it were. And here we have the opportunity, as Jesus did, to gather them into our arms, to to teach them the ways of God, to guide them, to nurture them. And we see here the extremely high importance that Jesus places on children. Just several more comments from a few of the youth in relation to the children. Emily Utsi said, "I will never forget the amazing time I had at Shining Light Children's Home this summer. I loved being with the children, and in so many ways, it feels like I left a part of my heart there. My favorite time of the day was in the evenings when our work, supper, and dishwashing were finished. Then most of our group and the children would have games and other activities out in the courtyard." Benji Mass says, "Of all the highlights, my interaction with the children was easily the best part of the trip. Always smiling and laughing, they were constant bright spots through the day and a refreshing reprieve in the evening from the day's labors." And Hannah Miller had an interesting perspective that I hadn't thought of. She says, "While I greatly enjoyed our youth mission trip to Shining Light Children's Home, it was more than the fun times with my youth group that made it special. The love and trust from all the children blessed me over and over again as they called my name and asked me to give them a swing ride, tell them a story, or let them help me bake cookies. When I went, I expected to see many sad, troubled children, deeply scarred from their past and starved for love and affection. What I saw surprised me. Older girls helping cheerfully in the kitchen, younger children running around and playing, all of them happy, carefree, cared for, and very loved. While I'm sure these children do carry many scars, God's healing was very evident in their lives as they learned to live and live abundantly in a safe environment." Tonight you'll see a photo of a little girl named Emma, and I think Benji might speak a bit about her as we go through the pictures, but just a reminder of the training, how the opportunity that we have as parents, we have as singles, to interact with children and to influence their lives and impact their lives. Her mother actually sent her out on the street to steal, and if she came back empty-handed, she was punished. So just exactly the opposite of what's right. And so in her early times, when she came to Shining Light, she had this impulse to take things that didn't belong to her. And she was constantly doing that. And it was only when they had the idea of giving her some responsibility, they let her set up a little store, as it were, out of her bedroom. There's a window facing the courtyard. And so we enjoyed going to the window, tapping on the window, and asking for a Coke. And she would, or a snack, and she would come. And so this little business taught her, or somehow connected with her, that she could earn a little bit of money, and the stealing stopped when they began doing that. So watch for the photo of the little girl with the Coke named Emma. And by the way, if you go to Mexico, the Coke is much better there than it is in the U.S. It's the real thing. And my wife tells me it's made of real cane sugar instead of fructose corn syrup. So it's the real thing. So as we look at this scripture, as we think about the experience, let's remember the value that Jesus places on children, and let's just take real note again of how he wants us to live and interact with them. Okay, let's take time now for your prayer requests. We'll have a time of prayer together, and then we'll turn it over to the youth. And I think to you of tonight, Hans and Benji put together a photo presentation so that you can get a feel for what went on the youth missions trip. There were 33 of us, I believe, that flew from Wichita to San Diego. We rented 3 maxi vans for the duration of our trip. We had a very, very early flight in the morning, got to San Diego, and were able to spend part of the day in San Diego dipping our feet into the ocean and doing other interesting activities in San Diego. We crossed the border into Mexico and got to Tecate, to the children's home, that evening in time for supper to get to know those there, and got settled in. The next 3 days were spent in working. Long days, happy days, full days, and then we took a break for 2 days and drove several hours to the Pacific Coast, where we had some enjoyable times, good times together. And then we returned back to the home Saturday evening. We're there for their worship Sunday morning. Lowell brought the message in two languages in a very interesting format for the children and for everyone. And then we had another work day on Monday and then flew back on Tuesday. So just a special thanks to all of you who contributed through coming to the fundraising meal. And there were a number of individuals who gave contributions. And it was interesting that at one point the board wasn't sure they were going to have enough funds to buy the supplies that we needed to do the work. So can you imagine the quandary of having a group coming and you don't have the funds for the supplies? And so as a real blessing, we were able to give, the youth group was able to provide $5,000 to the home as a donation for those supplies. And a lot of that was due, or half of it was due to a generous donor from Center who matched what the youth group raised. So that was a real blessing. And another unique aspect of the trip was the youth paid for all their travel expenses. So it wasn't like, so a lot of the money that was raised could go for the mission itself rather than their actual transportation costs. So they actually used their personal savings and paid for all of the airfare, van rental, and the gas. And so I was just handed a thank you card from the staff at the children's home just tonight. They say, "Dear friends, thank you so much for your labors of love and your gift of $5,000 to help support our orphans in Mexico at Shining Light. May God bless you richly for all your sacrifice. It's been a tremendous blessing. God bless you, SLCH." And then the verse, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me," Matthew 25:40. And I don't think it was a sacrifice on our part, was it? It was a blessing. So special thanks, too, to Crystal and Danny for heading up. They were on the committee, and Lois as well, doing the planning. And it was really special to have Lowell and Judy go along with Lowell's foreman construction experience. That was great to have someone to guide us. And Judy knows how to paint very well, so she was really helpful there. And Louisa Schmucker is not here, is she? On the way to church, we thought we should have made sure she knows. But it was interesting. We met her at Kalisha Hospital when Grandma was in the hospital. And she had actually been to Mexico with there's a group that goes every year, every several years, a large group. And they go to orphanages in Mexico and do work. And so she was a real aid to us in giving us ideas and tips of where to go and how to go about it. There are also extra brochures, the newsletter, the last newsletter. Each of you should have had one in your mailboxes, but we had them. They FedExed 150 more to us that came today so that you could have extras. Youth group, you can have, make sure you have your own copy. So there, I'm not sure where Hans put them, but they're in the back, he says. So feel free to get those. And the brochure is pretty much about the time that we had there. And then also there's a good article in here by the one and only Jewel Yoder in her writing abilities. And you may have read about it in the plane talk, too. So that was a good contribution there. And last of all, I just can't speak highly enough, about the youth group. We were so blessed by the positive influence, the way that they related to the staff, to the children. There was not one person that was a distraction or rowdy. It was just like everybody just really had a great time together. Everybody pitched in, worked very hard. And it was a real blessing for Lois and I to get to know the youth in an entirely different way. So it was invaluable for us in that way, but it was really an encouragement. So blessings, keep it up. God bless you. And so we'll look forward to having Benji guide us through the presentation, and then some of the youth will be having comments as we go through the presentation. So
hit the source button. I think it is. Yeah, there we go. Okay. I'm going to be flipping through the pictures, and like Dad said, each of the, or quite a few of the youth are going to be able to talk about different parts of the trip and tell you, fill in some of the different gaps in the story, as it were. Okay, here is Dad. The drill sergeant here, barking instructions. Actually, Dad did a fantastic job coordinating all the details of travel, from purchasing the tickets to getting everyone back on the plane to head home again. He was perfect. I remember hearing at least one person comment about the decisions that needed to be made throughout the trip. That sometimes it took us a while to make the decisions and to figure out what we're going to do, but after everything was said and done, we all kind of got to do what we wanted. And it was because Dad was able to gain consensus when possible and split into smaller groups when it wasn't. I guess all of his experience guiding groups in Europe paid off here. But it was great to be able to have Dad coordinating things. Here we are, of course, at the church getting ready to leave that morning. And here we are at the airport, unloading baggage, rather. Everything seemed to go pretty smoothly in the airports for such a large group. Some of the people who'd never flown before. So here is a picture of the landscape down below. And this is the Grand Canyon, I believe. It's James and Crystal popping their ears, I think. So. And here we are in San Diego. We touched down and claiming our baggage, getting ready to head out. It's Angela. And here we are outside the airport. From this point, we all kind of split up, and some of us went and toured an aircraft carrier, and some of us went to the beach. After that, everybody went to a historical district in town and found something to eat. Did some shopping and got different souvenirs. And it was there that I got this unwelcome souvenir. And this is just more pictures of San Diego. The guys selling ice cream in bars. And now, Josh, if you could talk about where the guys are sleeping. Great.
The guys were sleeping on the ground floor of their new schoolhouse, which you see here. The building wasn't actually hooked up to power yet, so there was a generator out back that we had to run when we needed lights. The girls were upstairs, and the floor was pretty thin. And about 10:30 every evening, they started a jump roping contest. At least that's what it sounded like. We complained bitterly, and they said they were trying to be careful, but we didn't hear much improvement. But anyway, at least we had better mattresses. They just had sleeping bags.
Okay, Hannah.
Well, as Josh said, we stayed in their lovely new schoolhouse, which was almost finished. And they really went all out to give us the best stuff they had, which was really pretty amazing for as many of us as there were. But when the girls got upstairs, we were really happy to see that we had two showers between all of us. And yeah, we were really excited because we were hot and dirty and stuff. But then the boys came up and said that, well, really, they didn't have any showers, so we would have to give them one. So we gave them the one closest to the door and tried to rig up some kind of curtain over the archway kind of between there to kind of give everybody some privacy, but that didn't really work. It fell down every time we tried to put it up, so we finally figured out a system where we made them knock before they came in, and we just ran and hid. But since we were in a pretty dry place. It was almost a desert there. There, we didn't have a lot of water, so we could only have 30-second showers. Well, that was interesting. And we actually ran out of water several times, so that was kind of all made life there, yeah, more adventurous. So as Josh mentioned, we girls only had sleeping bags, while the guys had mattresses. We didn't think that was very fair. And none of the windows had curtains, as you can see in the picture up there, so that was also interesting. But overall, we had a really great time there, and they took really good care of us, and yeah, it was very nice.
Very good. All right. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a picture of the ladies' accommodations, but I can assure you that it was about twice as bad as that. So. Okay, now Frida is going to talk a bit about her friendship with some of the older girls.
Heidi and I, as well as some of the other girls, had the privilege of developing a fairly close relationship with some of the older girls at the orphanage, partly due to the fact that we had taken Spanish class last year. At first, we mostly tried to talk in a very limited Spanish, but at the end, we found out that they actually knew quite a bit of English, so that was really nice. Here we are having a little farewell party with some iced coffee that they had made and also some snacks. These girls have faced many hardships, tears, and abuses, yet through their friendship that they offered to me, I saw Jesus in them and was very blessed.
Very good. Okay, and Michael's going to be talking about two of his favorite little girls.
This is Sarah, and I noticed her almost right away. She's on my shoulders there, and her sister Leslie. I think Sarah's 3 and Leslie is 5. Anyway, I noticed right away that Sarah especially had so much energy, was always running around and looked like so much fun. But for quite a while, she didn't let any of the guys come close to her. So I kept working on her. Finally, about one of the last, like I think the day before we left, she finally let me give her a piggyback ride, or on my shoulders, and she was really having fun. But after a while, I realized that she was having so much fun she didn't want to stop, and she was always yelling around. I couldn't really understand what she was saying. I think Matthew helped me out on that. At least for a while, she was yelling at me like a horse and telling me to move faster. And it was just a lot of fun. And these two girls helped me to see that, or think about all the little orphans in the world that don't have a home. And it was just good for me to be able to experience that.
Okay. So we got to the home and got to know the children pretty quickly. And just pictures of people interacting with the children. Sunsets there were fantastic. There was it's kind of faint, but in the background you can see a ridge of mountains, and it was always really clear. That evening, the first evening, this is Lauren is this guy right here, and this is a guy we knew as Grebi, and they were kind of the head guys there, and this is them kind of giving instructions to Lowell the evening before, so we could go ahead and get started with the work right away, first thing in the morning, as it were, and so we did. And now Crystal's going to be talking about all the painting that they did inside.
So the majority of us women painted, and Marvin was our go-getter for paint and supplies and whatever. Judy and Lois helped a lot, too, with organizing things. We painted, I think, pretty much the whole children's home. And at first we were like, this looks like a fairly new facility. Why do we need to paint it? but they had used fairly cheap Mexican paint that came off when they tried to wash it. So what we were doing was repainting it with Lowe's paint that was better quality. The last picture, you saw a bunch of us with numbers. And I think how that got started was one of the girls had heard us numbering off to make sure we were all there, and they wanted to paint it on, I think it was Frida's back. And then that just started it, and we all painted our numbers on our backs. This was the first day, and by the end, we were a lot more painty than that.
And you can see why. Mr. Lowell working hard. James is having so much fun cleaning the fence, he can hardly contain his joy. And Daryl is smiling because it's almost his turn to let Joe take over so he can go sit in Skid Steer. So, this is the brick mason. I'll just tell a quick story. James and Michael and I were cleaning the fence, and it just shows James here working, but we all worked on it. And this mason was putting the tops. You can see the pillar doesn't really have a top there, and there's like a kind of an ornamental top that he was putting on. And just as we were just finishing an afternoon of tedious wiping, you know, all the dust off of every surface of that fence, we realized that he hadn't finished the pillars on the fence we had cleaned, and he was dribbling mortar all over our clean fence. Needless to say, we were feeling quite sorry for ourselves. So, not sure exactly why Frida's smiling here, but she is. That's good. And now Lowell will talk a bit about his construction efforts, or the construction efforts.
Okay, when they asked us early on if we would consider going along to help give some direction to the work projects, we consented, and then there was figuring out from the board in Texas what work was going to be undertaken and what tools we would need to take along with the new restrictions on the airlines on the luggage. We ended up paying to haul our tools down and back, but it was nice to have tools there that we were used to using. One of the main projects was putting up a ceiling in the around the children's home. There's a big U-shaped courtyard, and I hope we'll have a picture somewhere this evening that shows a bunch of that. And along the inside was an overhang of about 8 feet, something like that. And we put in ceiling panels there, put them in, caulked them, prepared them for painting, and then painted, I think, two coats on most of that. So that was a big part of the work project for the guys, but we also did major exterior painting on the two-story schoolhouse. I think someone's going to be talking about that, and then there was some painting on the fence as well. So there was more work than we got done. Oh, also some pressure washing on the brick on the school and school building, and also on the main children's home. But it was a challenge to work with a lot of people, some without a lot of construction experience, but as people had a heart to work, it was a joy to see what we could get done.
Okay, here they're trying to see how many people they can wash, can use the sink at the same time, apparently. It's another fantastic sunset. Here's a picture of the schoolhouse, half painted. There's Emily playing with the children. It was one of the really enjoyable things about it was just great to be able to have the children around while we were working. And they always were begging for attention, so it was kind of cool to just take a break sometimes and play with them. And so that was one of the one of the nice things about working there. And Angela is going to be talking about working in the kitchen and helping cooking food there.
Each day, two of us girls helped in the kitchen, and we would go in early. We would try to be in the kitchen by 6 o'clock in the morning to help make breakfast. And they usually had us, after we helped with the breakfast preparation for the rest of the day, we usually helped more with the extras rather than the actual meal prep. I made, when I was in there in the morning, I think I mixed up a batch of bread. It was about 20 loaves. And Kathy mixed up a bunch of cinnamon rolls. And we just kind of did the snacks, the desserts, the extras that they didn't have time to do. And the best part for me working in the kitchen was having little helpers everywhere time I turned around. And I had the privilege of teaching about 4 girls how to form loaves of bread and how to braid bread. And it was just a lot of fun to interact with them. And we also really enjoyed going around in the afternoon and taking snacks to the other people who were working various places.
Thank you. Okay, and so Crystal was kind of in charge of most of the painting, and then I believe Charity and Sarah did a lot of rolling the ceilings, and that was a real challenge, and it's pretty stressful the way I understand it. And so different people deal with stress in different ways, and so this next picture I hope will kind of give you illustrate a bit about how she was dealing with the stress, and then she's going to talk a little bit more about the actual work that they got accomplished. That's not the picture, but this is actually Danny and Caleb working together to seal the brick. Apparently, when it rained. And they had a driving rain, which it didn't happen very often, but when they did, the water would actually seep through the brick because it's pretty porous. So I believe we sealed the whole exterior of the home as well as the school. And then this is Charity picking on somebody, painting Josh, actually, his back. So then Josh came and kind of evened the score a bit there. And so. If you would tell us a little bit more about that.
Sarah and I kind of got voted in to paint ceilings, and it seemed like we ruled miles of ceiling, and one of the last days we decided to relieve stress, and this was Sarah and I's plot together, and I somehow ended up doing the actual painting Josh's back, so.
Yeah, you'll notice that Josh is pretty helpless there because he's standing on a plank, not really big enough to turn around, and so they got him at a good time. And here's Sarah. She's letting Charity do it, I guess. So here we are, just trimming. We didn't tape anything on the outside, and so we got to get up on scaffold with the wind blowing us around and try to paint straight. Just one of the children. This is Emma. This is the Coke seller. It was $1 a piece, and it was always cool to go up there and order her Coke and tell her to hurry up, and she would of course laugh, and it was kind of a cool part of the trip, and Dad talked about it. But that's Emma. This is Enrique. He was a happy little chap. Eating lots of gum. Joe and is it Axel or Adriel? It's one of the twins. I'm not sure which. Does anybody know which one it is? Okay, so it's one of the twins then. And Daryl's going to be talking about the work that we did over at the school, all the painting and ceiling that we did there.
I wasn't quite sure how it worked out, but somehow I was up on this scaffold, and this is not where I wanted to be at all. I don't like heights at all, and at this level it wasn't bad, but when we had to put it up on the last layer up there, we had to move the planks all the way to the top at once. I think it was on the other side of the building, and that was getting a little nerve-wracking at times. And so at some point I told Danny that I'm just tired of being scared. He can come on up and take my place. So I'm not sure if I'm on my way down or what the deal was there, but anyhow. So Danny did eventually come up and take my place, so I was very happy for that. But most of the painting that we did wasn't a problem. We could do most of it from the ground, but then there was the peaks there we couldn't quite reach, and so we had to move these scaffolds. And we actually had to move it clear around the building, if I remember right. And it usually was fairly interesting because if we had four guys picking up the scaffold and moving at the same time, it was pretty easy to get some rockage happening up there, and it could have come crashing down fairly easily. We were happy it never did, but there were some moments when I was wondering. But it was fun for the most part, unless you were way up there, then it wasn't so much fun.
Thank you, Daryl. I'm glad you told the story about you having to come down to satisfy your fears, because then I didn't have to. That was nice. Now I believe Caleb is going to be talking about painting this fence.
Out along the south edge of the property, along the road, there's a pretty long section of fence. As you can see, the masonry pillars there, and then kind of prefabbed metal sections of fence. And this ended up being a lot bigger project than we thought originally. The metal sections came unpainted, and they had kind of a greasy, oily residue on them, I think, just left over from the foundry. And so we tried a couple different things to prep it. We used a trailer with a big tank and as a water supply for a pressure washer. And we had to haul water from a neighbor's place a couple miles away because the wells at the home just aren't adequate to do anything extra. And so we power washed a couple sections this fence once, and there was still a lot of oil left on it. So James and some of the other guys wiped every bit of it down with rags to try to get the oil off before we actually started putting primer and then paint on. And it was kind of a long process to paint because there's so many sides of the tubing and everything to paint. And I think at one point we had about 10 or 12 people working on it, and it still took most of an afternoon, but had good cooperation, and I think most people had fun while they were doing it.
Caleb, here's Lauren relaxing after a long day. We got one of the highlights for me and some of the other guys got to play soccer in the yard there, courtyard. And I don't know, this might give you a good idea of how it was shaped. It was kind of a U shape, and we're kind of towards the end, the outside end, and behind us is three more sides of orphanage, and so this looks from one side to the other. In Sonata, we went down, like Dad said, down to the coast, and this is looking out of our balconies at the hotel, and this is some of my homies in our room there. And so then soon after we got settled into our hotels, we went down to get some food, and had the best tacos I have ever had in my life. It was super, and guy came by and was selling roses. So Joe has to buy roses, of course. And he looked pretty happy. And Marilyn, I don't know if you can see, looks pretty happy in the background there, too. So they bought roses, and they still look happy. So, and then Jewel bought a couple for her sisters, and Christy for Mom. So Emily enjoying a Coke there with her taco. You know, an old fellow on the street. I'm sure he was a nice guy, but... Oh, he was the ice cream man. I just found that out. But, so, can somebody tell me what this is?
It's the meat. It's prepared to slice off.
In some of these taco shops, they had meat stacked on a spindle, and this spun around, or they could move it around in front of a flame where it was just... grilled as it was needed. Then they would hold a taco up there, a tortilla up there, and slice off the meat. This pineapple up on the top came down and kind of marinated it as it was being cooked, apparently, and it was very attractive and also made a very tasty meat for a taco that was fixed fresh, just basically as you needed it.
Thank you, Lowell. This is more of the condiments, I believe, for the tacos. And this is the La Bufadora, or it's rather redundant, I use, yeah, the Bufadora, as it were. And I believe, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but it meant something roughly translated to buffalo snort or something like that. And it was basically where the waves would come in, and apparently the rocks were shaped just right, the water would go shooting up. And so we got to enjoy that for a while. There's seagull right there. And again, this is right around the Bufadora. This is just a musician there who's performing for the tourists. And some of the shops, lots of color and lots of eager shopkeepers trying to sell goods to unsuspecting tourists. And this is the view into the bay. This is between the Bufadora and where we were sleeping in Ensenada. And this, it's kind of hard to read, but this is a windmill on the road, again, between Bufadora and Ensenada. And right here it says Kansas. So it was kind of cool to see that way down in Mexico. This is a lady selling tamales of meat, apparently. And this is another roadside stand. More roadside stand pictures. Charity and Christy, I think, modeling their new hats and sunglasses. And now Justin is going to be talking about the fishing that we got to do there on the coast.
Yeah. Is this thing turned on? Yeah. So the one Saturday, most of us went deep sea fishing. And we went out on the water from 7 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we had to go on two different boats because there was too many of us to go on one. And we caught quite a wide variety of different fish, a lot of different colors and species. And I'm not sure what the exact number was that we ended up with, but I'm thinking it was like maybe 70 or somewhere around there. And so they're really good eating, and so we had some meals of fish, and the children at the home were also very excited to have fish to eat. So,
okay, no, it didn't turn into a prince, in case you're okay, and Heidi will be talking about some of us, instead of going fishing, went kayaking.
Yeah, like you said, there were 6 of us that went kayaking instead of deep sea fishing. Joe and Marilyn and Josh and Danny and Benji and I. and we had a great time. We went and rented kayaks from a little man at the coast, and he told us that if we go about half a mile around the corner, we'll find a little private beach. So it was an incredible experience. It was really fun. We took our kayaks and went bobbing over to the private beach, and it looks kind of dangerous when you're up on the waves, and it looks kind of insecure, but it actually was really, really hard to tip the kayaks. Not like we were trying terribly hard to tip them, but here, and it was lots of fun. So we came around the corner, and there was a nice little strip of sand that you could only reach by water. You couldn't get to it by land. It was kind of set back in the mountains, and it was really cool. We parked our kayaks and took naps and played in the sand, and there was a little rock island just that you could walk out to in the water, and it was full, like, it had little crevices with water in it, and lots of weird little ocean creatures living in there, so we had lots of fun with them. There were some things I had never seen before. There were little blobs of green gook, and if you stuck your finger in, then it would, like, suck around your finger, and it would pull on your finger. And so they were alive. That's the way they caught their food. They couldn't move, but they would just grab whatever went past them. So we fed them little clams and pieces of Snickers that we were eating, and I think they liked us. Anyway, and then we also got to kayak into a little cave, which was really cool. It was kind of scary because the waves would keep coming in and keep pushing you farther and farther in, so you had to kind of row backwards to stay where you wanted to be, but it was really cool. We got to sing in there a little bit, and we felt very adventuresome. Anyway, we came back and had a really nice meal at a little cafe looking over the ocean, and it was really, really fun. The deep sea fishers think that they had a lot more fun than we did, but I guess I'll let you decide what you think.
FYI, or for your information, this is the point we're talking about. That we went around, and again, I think it was just about a half mile one way, and there was a little bay back there that we had all to ourselves. Okay, Josh. James will talk about his little friend, Danielle.
Okay, this guy is about 11 years old. I think they said he's like the only orphan there, or the only one they don't know anything about. I think we became fast friends, or, you know, he was my little buddy, mainly because, you know, he knew a lot of English. So I had a lot of fun with him, and one thing he liked to do a lot was run off with my shoes. So sometimes it got annoying or whatever, but it was good. He's, I think Gideon, the guy that takes care of him, says that he sometimes takes for granted some of the blessings he has at the children's home there, and sometimes is a little bitter and stuff. So if you think, by chance, think of him in the next, you know, day or week or whatever, you could pray for him that he could, I don't know, have a good attitude and be cooperative and stuff.
Okay, here's more pictures of us hard at work, painting. Mary, not sure if you can read what that says. She's apparently, it says Joe here with a bunch of hearts around it. And I accidentally ended the slideshow. It's not the end, I accidentally hit the wrong button. Charity getting painted. I think wasn't expecting that there. And since it was getting painted over anyway, Lowell took the opportunity to do some graffiti on the side of the schoolhouse there. So it says Lowell on this side right here, and Judy on the other. And this is a little guy. he just had his birthday and got to tear into his cake. And it did so with much gusto. And as you can see, there's like pieces of cake actually airborne here. Pretty good. And now I believe Jewel is going to be talking about some of the young girls who already had children of their own.
The very first night we were at the children's home, I was standing in the kitchen talking to Sharon Hirschberger, the director's wife. And I was commenting about all the little babies I saw around. I thought, good grief, how do these... I mean, there's only a few mothers who take care of the kids. How do they take care of all these babies? And she said, well, some of the older girls, these are actually their children. And my jaw sort of sagged, and I was like, I just couldn't believe that. Especially, I was standing in the kitchen, and the girls were working in there, and they looked like kids. They really did. I mean, way too young to be having children. And she explained to me that a lot of them have been abused by either a father or an uncle or whoever. There's three of them there. The one here is Anna, and her two-year-old is Reina. And there's a 15-year-old with a one-year-old and a 12-year-old who just had a baby, who's just a month or two old. Yeah, I think her baby was just a few weeks old when we were there. And on the one hand, it was really horrifying to think of what they had suffered. And yet, on the other hand, I could see they were able to stay in a safe place. They didn't have to work to provide for themselves and their children. They were able to be kids for just a little longer, even though they had to take care of their babies. And in that way, I saw that the home was bringing redemption to the pain these girls had suffered. And that was very powerful to see.
Thank you, Jewel. Do you know how old this mother is?
She's 17.
And this is Sarah and Sarah. And this is Marbella. And Heidi. What is her name? Julissa. Julissa? Julissa. Julissa. It's pretty dark here, but this is Joe and Mary enjoying sunset. God's love. And Caleb and I just having a good time talking, solving all the world's issues. And this is one of the really enjoyable things about the whole time was being able to, like, we had time, we spent all day, every day with each other. And then in the evenings, we'd always have long evenings, spend time together and talk. And that was really one of the highlights of the trip for me, was to be able to get to know the youth group better. This is Gideon, one of the staff members from Plain City, I believe. Uni and Sarah. Christy and Sarah. Sarah was quite popular, as you can tell. There's Judy working hard in the kitchen. We did laundry, or rather, some of the ladies did laundry several times for the entire youth population. It's very nice. Did you want to say this? Go ahead.
This is looking off toward the north. In the background, you could actually see where the U.S. border, where the fence comes through, and I didn't know if there would be any pictures where that showed up, but you could see probably a mile or so north. I don't know if you can see it on that picture or not, where actually part of the physical fence is up to try to restrict illegal crossings, that kind of thing.
Thank you, Lowell. Yeah, we got to see planes and a little bit of the evidence of the tension that is at the border of people trying to get across to get jobs in the U.S. and U.S. authorities trying to keep them out. Okay, and this is a bigger picture of the home. And, of course, inside here, like just over this ridge of the roof, is the courtyard with the playground equipment and where we played soccer and volleyball. he was wearing the hat before he went up. But then, Jewel and Christy and Jocelyn, I believe, or Jocelyn. And now Mom is going to talk a bit about four siblings that are there at the home. And I'll let her introduce them by name here.
This little boy, his name is Jose, and he had two sisters, and Benji will point to them, Jackie and Jenny, and a little brother named Caesar. If I have the names correct, I'm not quite sure on those. But the four children really warmed their way into my heart because their caregiver, Mileni, I think she was, there's Mileni. She took care of most of the children, and she told me the story about how they came to the home. And if I understand correctly, they came from a loving home with a mother and father who were good parents, but very, very poor. And unfortunately, like so many who live in the border towns, they got involved in drug trafficking. And the father is now in a U.S. prison, and the mother is basically strung out on drugs. And they've had these four lovely children now for several years. They are very, very much at home there. The Mileni takes them back to see their grandma and their aunt and uncle because she wants them to keep in touch with their biological family. But she said when they go, little Caesar, he just cries and he says, I want to go home. And so the grandma and the aunt and uncle have told Mileni they want her to keep them always because they see how well cared for and how happy they are. And they would just like to see them stay at the home the rest of the until they're grown up. But they keep in touch with them. But it's just so sad to see what drugs did to a well-functioning family.
Thank you, Mom. Okay, and unfortunately the time came that we had to leave. There they are, everybody saying goodbye. And I think a few of the children were crying and were really sad to see us go. And we were really sad to say goodbye to them as well. This is on our way to the border. I'm not sure exactly if this guy's trying to sell us something or not. There was quite a few vendors there as we were waiting to go through. He seems pretty sure about whatever he's saying. This is in the airport in Denver on our way home. And that is all, folks. So that's the end of the pictures, and I will turn it back over to Dad. So if we could have the lights again, please.
Okay, we'd like to open it up. Any of the youth, if you spoke or if you didn't, do you have any other comments? The roving mics here. Anything you'd like to add or any part of the trip that you'd like to just say a bit about?
I forgot to express what Mileni said right as we were leaving the caregiver I had mentioned earlier. She was, with tears in her eyes, she said how much it meant to her to see the way the youth would interact with all the children, not just the older ones and not just the babies, but they took time and invested in all the ages, from the littlest to the oldest, and that just really, really blessed her, because evidently there are times when groups come and they just kind of focus on one or the other and don't give everybody attention, but that meant a lot to her.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, we'll have announcements at the end of the service. Does anyone have any questions, comments that you'd like to, okay? Okay. How many would you say Judy and Lois are? One problem they have is the Mexican government does not want people from outside of Mexico to come in and work there. And I'm not quite sure, is it the pride thing or whatever? So they want, there have been issues with people coming in from outside Mexico, and so they don't want that. And so, go ahead.
Lila already talks about that in this newsletter, and it sounds like there might be some relaxation on some of that.
Okay. Okay. So as far as actual caregivers, there's only three mothers and one, one child, the fellow from Plain City. So there'd be four plus the couple, the house parents. Right. Yeah. Then there's also a girl that was working in the kitchen from Costa Rica. And then Darren, Mary Yoder, could you raise your hand? It's good to have Mary Yoder here. And her grandson, Darren, is there as a maintenance person. He was not there for most of the time that we were there. He came just the last day or so. So we got to see just a little bit of him. So, David? Okay, how many children are at the orphanage? 41. The day before we left, or the day we left, they brought two more, and they were just like, they were small. Were they both babies? They were both babies that just, so we got to see them come in. They brought them there, and so that was their max, they're maxed out. So, yes, Julian? Okay. There was another, does anyone recall the exact details or a bit more? Like they took over from someone else. Someone else had started operating a home of sorts, and they've been at several different locations. And then Osceola, the people there got involved, and so they are pretty much, you know, they're in charge now. They didn't want to do it unless they could make, you know, final decisions. And so they're the core supporting churches now. But, other questions? Okay, Danny, do you have anything else? Crystal? No? Lowell? Okay. Yes.
Maybe one thing. You might have seen some of the children had kind of mottled faces. They had a chicken pox outbreak they were dealing with when we were there. Okay.
Right, they had chicken pox while we were there, a few. Yes. Was there another question? Okay, Paul. See, they were having some things with, you know, the problem of not having people come in. Does anyone have a comment on that? Lowell, do you have the roving mic?
That was an issue they were dealing with, because to get accredited teachers in that situation, they were setting up their own school, but it was a touchy issue that they were trying to work out, and they were dealing with different possibilities, possibly other Christian teachers from the area that would have been able to satisfy the state's requirements and also give them some control over their school. It's an ongoing issue that they're trying to deal with.
Okay, anything else? Okay, Dad has an announcement.
Scott, I pray that I pray a blessing on the children's home as they continue their work. I pray that any issues they have with bringing foreign workers in could be resolved, and that that they could have a good relationship with the border officials there. And I just pray for each child there, that you would continue to pour out your love on them, and that as they grow older, they could see you and learn to know you. Be with us this evening as we go from here, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.